So I have a little thing to say, and you know, I know it's got 8 points or something, but it really isn't going to be very long. But what are we really building? And of course, I had Juan read Psalm 127, I believe it was. You know, except the Lord build the house, those that labor in vain. And we have been praying about this for years. We've been raising funds for years. And we need to ask the question, what are we really building? And I'm just going to really speak to about what we are really trying to accomplish here. I have a passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building, being put together by him, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. You also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. And so this passage, I mean, we're talking about a material building, you know, a physical building. And you know as well as I do, you know, when we have a little bit bigger day, it gets really tight in here. And of course, our stage, you know, I'm just thinking 14 feet by 40. This is what, 4 feet? This is not even four, I don't think. You know, and the whole width of this is 30. So if you add 10 more feet there and 10 more feet there, how nice would that be?
I think I can actually be in the building.
Yeah, and Dave won't be in the kitchen. He'll actually be, you know, where he can hear what you are hearing so that he can make it sound good, you know. And so all that, along with, we need space for classes. You know, we have needs. You know, it'd be nice to have a young adult class or, things like that. And we just don't have the rooms. It'd be nice to split up some of the kids, you know, and not have all those age groups together. It'd be nice to do those things. And that requires space. And so that's part of our vision, is to have that so that what? So that we can build the kingdom. You know, we build a building so that we can build the kingdom. And in this passage here, we just got some truths here. In verse 17, I know we got no PowerPoint today, so you know, you're just going to have to write it as I say it. But in verse 17, first thing is, everyone is fallen. Everyone is fallen, F-A-L-L-E-N, fallen. He says, When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. You know, there are people that are far away from God. They don't even go to church. They got no spiritual inclination at all. Sunday is just another day to them. That's a day to go watch a game or go do something or whatever it is, and they don't even think about it. But then you also have people that are near, people that do go to church, people that have some sort of spiritual inkling, you might say. But you know what? Everyone starts off fallen. Everyone starts off without Christ. Everyone starts off in need of a Savior, and whether you go to church or not doesn't change your need. You have to come to a place where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether it's from afar or from near, there's people that will sit in a church every week, and yet they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're no better off than the one that never goes to church. And so we need to understand that everyone has fallen. And that's why, you know, Paul, when he wrote this, he said that proclaim the good news to those who are far away and peace to those who are near. Peace with what? Peace with God. Because when you don't have Christ as your Savior, you are an enemy of God in a sense. You're a sinner. You're separated from Him by your sin. And so when we have Christ, we have peace. And it's for those that would never dare come into a church, and then those that come every week and perhaps they still do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So secondly, so first everyone has fallen, but secondly, everyone may have forgiveness. They may have forgiveness. Verse 18. For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You know, the Bible says in another place, no one gets to the Father except through Christ. You can only get to the Father through Christ. And a lot of people will say, oh, there's no such thing as a Trinity and, you know, and all that. Well, the Trinity is right here in this verse. Through Jesus, we have access by the Spirit to the Father. There you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the same verse. But everyone may have forgiveness. In other words, it's available to anyone. What's interesting is there was a time when there was a small boy. This was early in the 20th century, I believe. And this little boy was outside the Buckingham Palace, you know, outside the gates. And he wanted to see the king. And of course, you know, they got the guards there, and they got the wall there, and they got all the stuff there. And he's like, I want to see the king. And you know, guards just kind of looking at him. You know, those guards that aren't supposed to move. You know, the people try to make them laugh and stuff, whatever. Guards just standing there. And then there was some other dignitaries there or some officials there or whatever. And they're like, you know, you can't see the king. And then all of a sudden, this coach comes up, and this guy gets out. And he's very well dressed or whatever. And he heard part of the conversation. And everybody just kind of snapped to a little bit when this guy got out of the coach. And he says, oh, you want to see the king? Come on. He takes the little boy by the hand. They open up the door. He goes past all these guards, goes into all this place, goes into this huge palace. And he's walking here and there. And the guy's like, yeah, this is where we do this. This is where we do that, blah, blah, blah. And he goes in there and he takes him right to the king. Well, it turned out this person was Prince Edward. Okay, the king's son. And he took the boy by the hand and took him to the king. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the king's son, Father, Son. And it's the Son that will take you to the Father. And it's the same then, it's the same now. And the only way you get there is you're forgiven. You ask God to forgive you because of what the Son did. He paid the price for your sin, but you still need forgiveness. But it's available. And when you do, through the Son, you get to go to the Father. And Edward took that little boy to his father because he was the Son. He had access to the throne. And you know what? Jesus is our access to the throne. And forgiveness is open to anyone that would ask with a sincere heart. We want to build that everyone may have fellowship in the first part of verse 19. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. You know what? We were once foreigners. You know, I've been in other countries, and it's really can be, sometimes it's more comfortable than others. Sometimes it's kind of okay. Other times it's very difficult because you're a foreigner. You don't have the rights. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are adopted into the family. You become a citizen of heaven. You become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And you can have fellowship now. You can have fellowship with those that are already citizens, the rest of us, as well as with the Father and the Son. And he says, so then, you are no longer foreign. You are no longer a stranger. You know, words that haunt me in the Bible is when Jesus says to those, and he says, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. In other words, he's saying, you're a stranger to me. I don't know you. You're not part of my family. You're not part of this. Depart from me. And yet, because of Christ, we have the opportunity to no longer be a foreigner or a stranger, but a fellow citizen with the saints. Who are the saints? Everyone that's accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those are the saints. And he says, not only that, but members of God's household. That's 19b. In other words, everyone may have fellowship, and you know what? Everyone may be family. You become part of God's household. You're not just a visitor. You actually go there, and you're part of the household. You know, when I've got three sons and their families, and when they come and visit, they can just come right in. Grandkids, come right in. Why is it? They're part of my family. They're part of it. And they're welcome anytime they want. They are welcome to come. And you know what? When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are welcome. We become part of the family of God. Everyone has that opportunity to be a member of God's household. Then in verse 20, everyone may have the same foundation. You know, every building has a foundation. And really, how good the building will be is determined by how well the foundation is laid. If you don't have a straight foundation, if it's not right, nothing else is going to be right. I've seen walls and stuff and tried to work on things where the foundation is shifted. It may have started off right, but it shifted, or the ground settled, or, you know, whatever. And it is a nightmare. You put things up, nothing lines up, everything's crooked. It's crazy. But when you have a sure foundation, you've got it. And Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. He never settles. He never changes. He doesn't shift. He is solid, and you can depend on it and depend on Him. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone Himself, built on the foundation. What a foundation we have. You never get up in the morning and wonder what the rules are today. The rules are the same. The foundation does not change. Different houses are built, you know. As Christians, you know, Bible calls us a house, a temple. And our foundation is Christ. But each one of us, we have a different kind of building. Because God's building a different thing. Some of us are going to go to Nigeria. Some of us stay right here. Some of us have building expertise and God can use that. You know, some of us, we're just prayers. We pray, or we teach, or we sing, or whatever. But there's a different house, all on the same foundation. We have the same foundation, and anyone can have that same foundation. It simply requires accepting Christ as your Savior, and He becomes your foundation. Which leads to the framework. In verse 21, he says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. 21, the whole building being put together by Him grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. Or in your word, it may say framed. Everyone may be part of the framework. You know, God has a plan to build you. What is that plan? It's called sanctification. He's making you holy. I've been preaching in Philippians. And in Philippians, he's talking about making us Christ-like, conforming us to the image of His Son. That is the building that God is doing. He's taking your spiritual building, and He's conforming you to the image of His Son. And it starts with the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then as we go through this life, God is working on us. He's building us. He's framing us, if you will, making us into that which He can use for His glory, for His purposes and plans. He has a plan to build you, by the way. No matter where you're at, you may be the newest Christian in this room, or you may be someone that's known the Lord for 70 years, but God is still working on your building. He is building. He is working on you. He's conforming you to the image of His Son. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He wants to work through you. It is simply a matter of us submitting to Him, right? Allowing Him to. Everyone can be part of the framework. And then lastly, in verse 22, everyone has a function. you also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, God dwelled in material places. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness? They had the tabernacle, that huge tent-like structure. And God gave Moses the blueprints for it, and they carried it out. And all the workmen put together all the outer structure, as well as the insides, all the utensils for worship, and the Holy of Holies, and the altar, and the Ark of the Covenant. All those things were created and put in there. And then the Bible says the glory of God just settled on that and went into the Holy of Holies. And also when Solomon built the temple, the glory of God came and dwelt in the temple. And that was Old Testament. It was pointing forward to the day when God would one day dwell in people, in you and me. And when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. He used to dwell in material structures. Now he dwells in people. He dwells in us, those that have named the name of Jesus. He says, you are being built together for what? For God's dwelling in the Spirit. Do you understand that the Spirit resides within you? The Holy Spirit of God, God himself, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he dwells within you. He is present within you. He is working within you. Everyone has a function. There's a reason he's there. He wants to use us to what? Build his kingdom. Yes, we are in a building program here, but we must remember that whether we are in this building or the new one, what is really being built here is God's people and God's kingdom. That's the only purpose for having this. It's a place to facilitate the expansion of the kingdom here on earth. Building it, we hope to reach people that don't know the Lord and they become part of the kingdom. And then there's the people that do know the Lord that congregate here. We learn from the Word of God, and God works in us to make us more like Jesus. And that's what we're doing here. That is a building program that transcends everything else. And yes, we pray, you know, for funds, and we pray for the county to be favorable with us or whatever. But in the end, we got to remember what's being built here is the kingdom of God and his people. And if God allows us to have that building, and I pray that he does, we will be better able to serve him. But in the meantime, the task is the same. We're to share the gospel, and we're to help one another. And that's what this church is about. It's really that simple. Share the gospel and bear one another's burdens, help one another, love one another, serve one another. That's what we do. That's what this church does. And I thank God for it. So by way of invitation, there may be someone here today that you may say, wow, I need to be built. You need the Spirit of God. You know, you're an empty house, so to speak. The Spirit of God is not dwelling within you. God gives an invitation through his Son. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. There is no one in this room that has not committed sin. Every one of us. We fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of the standard that God set. He's holy, and we are not. But through Jesus Christ, who came and paid the price for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world. He died on the cross, the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that would satisfy the justice, the holiness of God the Father. And when he made that act on the cross and died and rose again in victory, that opened the door for sinful man, a sinful man like me, to be forgiven. and to become part of the family of God. To just ask God to forgive me, to trust in Jesus. And you know what happens? God moves in. He does a supernatural thing. He forgives you. He adopts you. And he indwells you. And you become a whole new person. You become a person set apart for a specific thing. He's got a plan for you. And if you're not living that, the only thing that's stopping you from that is just humbling yourself and say, you know what? I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. And if there's someone here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. For the rest of us, what's God trying to do in you? And maybe you've been resisting him a little bit. I don't know what God may have brought across your mind. Maybe it's an opportunity, some area of service. Maybe it's an area of just learning more. So, you know, some people need to learn more so they can do more. But whatever it may be, this will be your opportunity. Kathy, if you'll come, and we're going to have an invitation. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've heard about it. I'm one of those persons that's near. I've come to church and I've heard these truths, but I've never made the choice. I have never gone to the Father and asked him in Jesus' name to save me and forgive me and make me one of his. I've never done it, and I need to do that. Is there anybody like that? Would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. I see that. Amen. Is there anybody here today, Brother Mike? God's been trying to build something in me. And I've been kind of resisting the building project. Anybody like that? I don't know what the area may be, but if you recognize that, please slip your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I pray that you trust him. Trust him enough to let him build. Let him work on you. You can trust him. He's a good God. He only wants the best for you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray even now that you would move on hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray that those of us that perhaps we've been resisting you in some way, Lord, that we would just let you build us, that we would just let you work in us, Lord. And Father God, I pray for the one that lifted their hand about salvation, Lord, that they would make that decision. They would make that decision, Lord God. I pray you would lay it on their heart. I pray that your Spirit would move them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as Kathy plays the piano, as she plays a simple song. If God is moving on your heart, I beg you to act upon what he is doing. This is your time. Take advantage of it. Come before you grateful for all that you have done in this church, Lord. We have plans, Lord, and we've laid them at your feet, and we ask you, Lord, to bless them, and we ask you, Lord, to move in such a way that we would be able to build a building, Lord, that we could build the kingdom in a better way, Lord, and have better facilities, Lord, that we could teach more and reach more, Lord, as we try to serve you. In the meantime, Lord, thank you for all those that participate here, Lord, that you're using. Thank you, Lord, for those that acknowledge that you're working in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way in their lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would all humble ourselves and submit ourselves in a greater way to how you are working in our lives, that we would be that vessel suitable for you to use in your kingdom. Lord, help us always to be about building up one another and building your kingdom. That you would be glorified, that we would benefit, that Jesus would be lifted up. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.